Welcome back to Spin Now with me, Katie. It's that time of the week where I introduce this week's special guest. Now, if you didn't know, yesterday was Cystic Fibrosis Day and April itself is Autism Awareness Month. I'm going to be catching up with the amazing, inspiring mother who is Claire Merrigan. Claire, how are you this morning?
I'm great, Katie. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Claire, I have you on today because I want to chat to you about your journey with your son, Mason, who is now 12 and suffers with cystic fibrosis and also suffers with autism. Claire, can you chat to me a little bit about cystic fibrosis for our listeners that might not know what it is? Could you explain to us what is cystic fibrosis?
He also has cystic fibrosis related diabetes that can go hand in hand with for people with cystic fibrosis. But just to shine a bit of light on cystic fibrosis, Mason was born in 2011. And that was the year where cystic fibrosis was put into the National Newborn Screening, so the basic heel prick test all babies get. It wasn't in the heel prick test before June or July of the 2011 through the newborn screening. I think he was the second baby in Talla Hospital at the time.
Wow.
To be diagnosed that way. So he was born the 29th of November and Christmas week, the 21st of December. He was 3 weeks old and he was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. But when I got the call, I knew straight away that he had it because he was already shown signs of cystic fibrosis. And his nurse to this day remembers that call that I knew when she said, you know, you have to come up tomorrow for a sweat test, which is how they always diagnose people with cystic fibrosis in Ireland. Create a newborn screening. So Mason was a full-term baby and nothing showed up in his, you know, antenatal scans or anything. He was 6 days overdue, born 6 pounds, 8 ounces, which was small enough considering my first baby, Holly, she was 7 pounds, 9 ounces. Straight away, he had difficulty breathing and feeding. We were kept in the hospital for a few days. And Mason as a baby, you could hear him before you could see him. So you'd come into a room and you'd hear this little baby struggling to breathe. And like when I look back now, you know, I actually, there's so many red flags, but you're a new mother and, you know, you're questioning yourself at the best of times. Mason started losing weight rapidly. By the time he was diagnosed, he was which is only 3 weeks old, he was 5 pounds, 5 ounces in our local public health nurse office when getting him weighed because he was losing weight so much when I got the call from Talla National Children's Hospital about coming up the next day that something had come up in his heel prick test. So there are some of the signs you'd see very early on with children with cystic fibrosis, you know. They suffer from malnutrition because they don't absorb any fat from any food sources they take, so and they don't absorb any fat vitamins. So you'll know, I'm sure Michael is the same. He's on A, D, E and K extra vitamins when they do get diagnosed. So he went up to hospital the next day and was called a sweat test here in Ireland. And that's how they always diagnose children with CF before it came into the newborn screening. And it's like a little watch that collects sweat from the sends pulses into the children's arms and it collects the sweat chloride and they do a count on that. Mason's didn't work, he was so malnourished. We were given a date to come back up on the 19th of January and I was literally panicking because I was like, will he make it to the 19th of January? But we got taken to another room then and he was diagnosed and his sister was being sweat tested as well because it obviously wasn't in her heel prick test at the time of her birth. And yeah, so fast forward to the 19th of January, Mason was actually an inpatient in the hospital. He was very ill. I was leaving his bedside upstairs to go down and get Holly tested with my husband, Stephen. We got Holly tested. Mason took a really bad turn. He was rushed to x-ray. I was actually in x-ray when I got the call to say Holly's test had come back, that she didn't have cystic fibrosis. Mason's came back, but sure we knew one of his lungs had collapsed that day. So that was the 19th of January 2012. Holly's birthday was the 28th of January. He got home just for that and then we ended up back in hospital, I think 2 or 3 days later, and we didn't get out until the June of that year.
Wow. I met you when Michael was diagnosed through an amazing support group over on Facebook. It's CF Mammies and we have been friends since. And though we live so far apart, we were a massive support to each other throughout our journey.
Absolutely.
And our stories are slightly similar in my daughter coming back negative, and you know, Mason and Michael having cystic fibrosis. It's a genetic thing.
1 in 19 here in Ireland are carriers, were the highest per head of population in the world. And again, like you and myself and Stephen, we didn't know we were carriers until Mason was diagnosed. He was the first on both sides of our families. I now since have a first cousin who actually, would you believe, used to fundraise with us for CF. He's amazing, Eamon, and he's a little boy who has cystic fibrosis. He's doing really well, thankfully. But yeah, so we were the first. We didn't know we had the gene. Stephen and I would have suffered with miscarriages pre-having Holly. So we had a lot of tests done, but as the genetics counsellors told us at the time, they would have looked at the chromosomes, not the DNA, which is what you need to look at for cystic fibrosis.
It comes as such a shock. It really does. And the reason I wanted you on today, Claire, is because I talk about Michael's journey all the time. And Michael is, you know, thriving. He's good. He is classed as, you know, someone who is thriving through the cystic fibrosis journey. Mm. But your journey with Mason has not been that easy. And we both share, you know, both our sons have the gene double delta 508. But as you explained off air before we came on, you know, it really depends on the child, on the person itself. Talk to me a little bit about how hard it's been for Mason, you know, compared to Michael's journey.
Yeah, like that. Within the first hospital stay, obviously that was very, very long. Mason ended up having to have a feeding tube inserted into his tummy. He just had other complications. He had what was known as a tracheomalacia. So his thymus gland was compressing his aorta, which was compressing his trachea. So he had other complications, as I said, on top of the CF. So he had a little feeding tube inserted into his tummy, and that was when he was about 5 months old. He's now 12. He still has it. He calls it Peggy.
Oh.
With the new medication that Mason's on, and I believe Michael's on it as well, we all campaigned for it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Mason was on 7 night feeds, you know, so every night for the 7 nights of the week he was on overnight feeds. He's now down to 3 nights, which
wow.
is just, it's phenomenal. I can't describe, even for him as a 12-year-old, you know, that he's not attached to this feed 7 nights a week. It's changed our lives. Mason has had a tough CF journey, I will say. He's also, again, as you touched on in the intro, Mason was diagnosed with autism at the age of 4. We were very lucky. We got a great support from his CF clinic to help get us that diagnosis, because at the time we didn't know, you know, Mason had been through so much. So you're questioning, is it because he's been hospitalized so much? Is it all the red flags that should normally kind of hit you? You're questioning it because he's been through so much. But yeah, so at the age of 4, Mason then diagnosed with autism. And then at the age of 6, he was diagnosed with CF-related diabetes. So Mason is also on insulin twice a day. And he blows my mind, because he just takes everything in his stride. You know, he used to have this huge aversion to needles, or sharpies as he calls them. Geraldine, who's just retired from being the first cystic fibrosis nurse in Ireland, she still calls Mason's needles his sharpies, you know. It was an ongoing thing in his hospital. But he breathes through everything. He hasn't once cried getting a sharpie, and God, I can't even remember how many years. Like, you know as well, with Michael, they take everything in their stride, and their strength and resilience just blows your mind.
That is for sure. But Claire, can I just say, your strength and resilience, and I feel like a lot of special needs moms out there will relate to this, blows my mind. Because yes, our children are resilient, and Michael gets up every morning and takes his necessary medication, and you know, they take it in their stride. But for you as a mom, you know, I remember those times of you getting up how many times a night, and you know, doing the feeds with him. And the fact that, you know, he's down to 3 now is absolutely amazing. But you as a mum blow my mind. Special needs mums blow my mind, because there is a different level of care as a mother being a special needs mum. Would you agree?
Oh, 100%. And I will say, like, I cannot take the credit. Like, I always say, there's myself, Steve, and Mason's dad, Holly, Mason's big sister. We are a team and we really do work as a team. You know, we've got family and again, without their support, you know, again, our local community, you know, I'm heavily involved in the GAA club here.
Mm-hmm.
And again, their support and the friends I've made through there and, you know, Holly's soccer teams, and very lucky, as you hit on it as well, the CF Mammies group. There's times I know I couldn't have got through a day without their support, and Cystic Fibrosis Ireland the same. You're going through some of the worst parts of your life, and I only said this to a friend earlier on today. Cystic Fibrosis Awareness Week, which is this week, and as you said yesterday, being 65 Roses Day, you're reliving everything that you've gone through, and when you're looking at it again, it actually hits hard, because while you're doing it during the day, all day, every day, it doesn't hit you. You're just doing it. That's your life. That's what you do. But when you're actually trying to describe what you do, you're like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, yeah.
It's crazy. I did a piece on a local paper last week and it was a mixed bag of things, but Michael, cystic fibrosis did come up. And I described it as when Michael was diagnosed and all of this came to me, I turned into a robot. I was now learning and doing and moving. And honestly, that's what I felt like, a robot. And it is times like that when you do awareness pieces or chats that you're like, I have to take some time afterwards to kind of really go, wow, oh my God, how did I get through that period of my life?
No, I agree. And like I said, I'm very lucky with my husband and Stephen. We've always been very open, even with Holly. And, you know, it's important to look after yourself and to have an outlet and to talk to people, because it's a lot. And, you know, as well, two people with cystic fibrosis can't be within 6 feet of each other.
Yes.
So it's not like you can meet up with the kids and have a chat and let them play together. And I found that very tough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, we could meet up, but wouldn't it be amazing that Mason and Michael, who are so close in age and probably have such similarities. Again, you know, our other friend Julie, like Tom and Mason have a lot in similar. Like, it's just very, very hard because Ruth has CF. It's hard that you can't meet up with the kids. And yeah, I just find that a mental struggle as well, you know.
I'm so glad you said that, because it is true. There was times there where the group of girls that we had the CF group, but then we also had just the smaller group of Julie, me, you, Joy and Aisling. And it's so hard. We met up many times, but to show our kids that you aren't the only person going through this. Mm. And that film, that film really, really showed people how hard it is, you know, to not be able to have our kids. And Claire, why is it that we can't have our kids, if you want to explain to our listeners together?
Yeah, so it's to do with cross infection. And, you know, I suppose my way of explaining it, and I shouldn't laugh about it, but if you look at the pictures in the halls of the Tallaght Hospital, especially, there's pictures of the kids years and years ago, you know, going off to Lapland and going off to Knock, and they'd all go off together, but not knowingly, they were actually could make each other sicker and iller, because with cystic fibrosis, and you'll see it yourself when we go to clinics for our CF clinics, we're put into clinics where the children will have the same kind of infections, say, that they would normally grow. Like, they mightn't necessarily have an infection there and then, but like, that's how CF clinics are based. We're never allowed to be in the same hallways as each other, or, you know, technically cross paths, as the saying goes, 6 feet apart. So when we go into clinics, we all have our own room, as you know, and, you know, there cannot be any cross infection, because you're putting each other at risk.
That's for sure. Claire, I think a huge thing as well would be for people that are planning families that haven't yet had kids. Is there a process, a way of checking these genetics before planning and starting a family?
As far as I know, there is. You'd have to contact your GP. I know, especially if there's CF in your family. I don't know if any of your siblings or that went after Michael's diagnosis, but two of my sisters went to be checked to see if they were carriers, sorry, of the gene, because I'm the eldest of five, so there's five of us, and they reckon that there has to be at least another carrier within our five siblings as such. But two of my sisters have been for genetics, and they're not carriers. I do have two brothers, they chose not to, and they've had their families and they don't have any children with CF. So there's genetic bloods that can be done to check to see if you're the carrier for the CF gene, yes.
Yeah, because it's mind-blowing. Me and my husband, it was a case that I had the gene, I was a carrier, and he had the gene and he was a carrier. And to this day, Claire, I'm 10 years on, it still blows my mind that, you know, you can walk around with this gene, being a carrier, and never know it, and make a family, and never have a child with CF.
Well, our parents, that's the way I look at it. Like, I'd never put it on our parents, like my parents, to go and get genetics done. But, you know, they had obviously families that didn't have any CF, and their siblings or their parents had to pass it to them. And as you said earlier on, isn't it like the look of the pot or not look of the pot? But it can go through generations without, it's both parents have to have the cystic fibrosis mutation in order for your child to have cystic fibrosis. And I think it's 2 in 4 that they're a carrier, and then it's 1 in 4 that they won't have anything. So like, even though Holly doesn't have cystic fibrosis, Mason's older sister, she might be a carrier. We don't know that until she is of legal age to go and ask for and request the genetic bloods herself to see. So I have friends who actually know that they're carriers and there's no CF in their immediate, didn't have cystic fibrosis children, or that they obviously, their partners didn't have the cystic fibrosis gene, but through other issues they found out that they had the CF gene. So yeah, genetics blow my mind.
Yeah, me too. I get very confused by it. You're very much more knowledgeable around that than I would be, Claire, for sure. Claire, before we head off, because we are nearly out of time and we could actually talk about this all day, how is Mason doing now? How is he doing?
Yeah, no, he is. He's got this cough, I think, that everybody has at the moment. So I've just sent another cough swab up to the hospital, which will then tell us if Mason has an infection, and then we can treat with antibiotics. But look, he's a 12-year-old boy, and he's the most lovable, happy child you could ever come across. You know, he cracks us up absolutely every day. His sister was away with school on a trip to Miami for basketball, would you believe, at the age of 15, and it broke him because he's just not used to being without her, you know, and he's just like any other normal little boy. And yes, he does have autism, and you know, he's just the strongest, happiest, funniest little boy you could meet. And he's doing swimming lessons now, and like, he's just loving life. So yeah,
I love that. Really. And also I love that they get along so well, because I'll tell you, Nicole and Michael, not so much.
Well, they are siblings, so like us all, they do kill each other. I'm not saying they're angel perfect best friends, but they do, they are very close, and I suppose like that they've had to be, you know. But yeah, they're also going to be, like, Mason's nearly a teenager, as Holly keeps reminding him, because he done that with her when she turned 13. So yeah, they do, they're siblings, they also tear the back off each other, but yeah, they're best friends at the same time.
Well, Claire, if any of our listeners wanted to follow you and Mason's journey, where would they find you on social media?
Yeah, like, as you know, I'm the chairperson of the Wexford branch, so you will find me on my own personal Facebook page, Claire Merrigan. I'm also then available to get contacted through the Wexford branch or CF Ireland, you know. And can I just shout out as well that you can still text 65 roses to 50300 just to donate if you didn't get your purple rose yesterday.
I love it, Claire. You were literally ahead of it. I was just about to say, if you want to support cystic fibrosis, and if I ever asked anyone to support something, it is once a year. You can text cystic fibrosis to 50300 to donate 4 euro, or you can head over to Cystic Fibrosis Ireland's page. There's a link on that you can click, and you can donate whatever you like. Claire, listen, thank you so much for coming on in the Southwest today and telling us all about cystic fibrosis and autism. I think you're amazing. You're inspiring. So is Mason. So is Holly. And a big shout out to Stephen as well. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you.